Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TMS didn't just fall out of the sky fully formed. It persists because of patrons like Bridget Carey Davis, Desmond Rice, Demond Rice, Demond Rice, wherever you get your rice, and Albert Vandenberg. Be like them today at patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on today's show, before the South Parkening.
Look, there's one of the lesser Hemsworths.
Perfectly Stuck Landing Award.
Venus de Groot.
Gadding with Wolves.
Simon and Buffett.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Bustle Pocket.
Bismarck Omit Leafage Buckbank.
Vehicular Cleanliness.
Dingoes Stole My Country.
I find your lack of knowledge of Isla Fisher disturbing.
Thank you for banking with Bono.
Kim's Hot Powder.
I'm a Barbie song. Oscars have gone wrong.
Monkeys Prescribing LSD with Dan. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
He likes vehicular cleanliness and World War II history. He doesn't like celebrity obsession or hunting trophies.
I am Frank, and Frank must go.
The Morning Stream.
I love that one. Hey, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is the morning stream for Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett.
Brian. Hello.
Hello. I hope you had a decent night, you know?
I did have a decent night. It was, you know what it was? It was basically just hanging out. Had made some steak with Tina, some steak, potatoes, carrots for dinner, and then crashed in front of the TV set, and we watched season two, a majority of the episodes, because I can pretty much say that this won't get recommended because I recommended season one.
Yeah.
And it's my own personal rule not to just keep doing seasons. I've done it before. People go and look up, well, Brian, actually you did do that in recommendals number 11. We watched Wolf Like Me season two. Isla Like Fisher, Me. Josh Gad, she's a werewolf.
I like it.
They have a relationship.
Yeah.
And
they have little werewolf puppies. Wolf dog.
Well, as
puppies.
A matter of fact, this season is all about the second season. She gets pregnant. There's the big concern. Is the baby going to be a human or is the baby going to be a wolf?
I haven't heard a thing about this show other than I knew it existed. But is it good?
Yeah, it's funny that it doesn't get more attention because it's actually really... really cool.
Is it a comedy? Is it a dramedy? It is.
It's comedy with drama elements, but it's probably more comedic than anything else.
Okay. Well, sign me up. I will check it out. Yeah. Wolf Like Me, you say? Is that
Wolf
the name?
Like Me, and that is on Hulu as well, I believe.
Look at all this right? Hulu business, man.
Or is it Prime, maybe? No, it's Hulu.
It is Peacock is where it is.
Oh, it's Peacock. That's what it is, yeah.
Peacock.
See what I mean?
Original.
That's how little I care.
Yeah.
I basically, like, we have our we have our what you've got in your queue next strip on the Apple TV, and that's what we go by. It's
sure.
Like, yep, boom. That's
nothing
what
wrong with that. They, you know, works. Why not?
It's a good method. Yeah.
I do like both Isla Fisher and Josh Gad. This seems like maybe something I'd be into.
You probably would. And this is a good one for like first three episodes. You can knock them out in an hour. They feel like they're about 20 minutes long each.
Yeah.
And you'll know right away if you like it or don't like it.
All right.
The funniest thing about it to me is that it takes place in Australia.
Yeah.
and Isla Fisher, who's Australian, speaks in an American accent.
Oh, really? Not,
yeah. While everybody around them is
I didn't know she was
Australian.
I didn't know she was Australian at all.
I know, because you never see her. You never see her in a role where she has her accent. Yeah. I haven't anyway. I know she starred on a soap opera in Australia, as everyone does.
Yeah, of course.
Kylie and Hemsworth and, you know, all these people got their start on Neighbors or whatever.
Yeah, but, that's you got to get through that gauntlet before you can come
right,
and
exactly.
Completely infiltrate the American studio system and become dominant here. Like all the Australians do. They could take over tomorrow if they wanted. Just boom. Yeah. Hemsworth would stand up and give the signal, and then, you know, Kate, what's her name, would stand up and go, charge, and then you'd have everybody. You'd even roll in.
Right. Naomi Watts.
Yeah, just wheelchair in old, that's not a knife, this is a knife guy. Just wheel him
Paul
in.
Paul Hogan.
Yeah, Paul Hogan.
They're or is it just because he's old?
They're ready to go. I mean, hell, they have, I can't think of anyone's name today. But Tom Cruise's ex-wife. In movie theaters, Nicole Kidman telling everybody how great movies are and they should all go to the movies.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when we were watching Killing of a Sacred Deer. I'm thinking, yeah, this is not one of those movies that Nicole Kidman is sitting alone watching the AMC saying, even hot break feels good in a place like this. Yeah, probably not when you've got a wacko with a gun. spinning around in circles. That's all I'm going to say about that film.
That movie. I like that movie a lot. I know I said it yesterday. I like Killing of the Sacred Deer a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I think I will like this weird, what's it called again? Poor Things. Yeah. Seems like it's right up my alley. And she seems very good in it.
I think I like Poor Things most of all of the Lanthimos films.
The catalog.
The favorite's still up there for me, but I would put this lower on, I would put Killing of a Sacred Deer lower on the list. There's the conceit, the premise is just such a big, it's one that I have a harder time getting across than even The Lobster, which is all goofy premise.
Yeah, like it's so weird.
The whole thing hangs on this goofy premise. Actually, so does Poor Things, really. Mm. You know, Frankenstein kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
well, like I said yesterday, I'm all for this dude making weird shit. I'm in. Bring it on, buddy. Yeah.
You know that Isla Fisher is married to Sacha Baron Cohen, right?
No, I did not.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Does he say, my wife, to her?
Probably, yes.
Okay, that's cool.
Sleeves of Wizard.
Yeah, like Sleeve of Wizard. His original, so I don't know, it's not original, but his one particular appearance for the original movie's production on Letterman to promote it is still one of the funniest 20 minutes you'll ever spend watching an old clip of a talk show.
Really?
It's
okay.
So all good. Right. Dave is just so, yeah, Dave is. He's not, he's not a goofball. So he's just, it's kind of embarrassing for him. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like how he was with Kaufman, right? With Andy Kaufman, how he would just kind of have to be like asking the questions that straddle the line between who the character is that they're being versus who they really are, kind of thing. Like,
yeah. Didn't we get a documentary or something? I can't remember how this went, but they either proved or disproved whether or not he actually was fighting with Jerry Lawler in that episode. Oh, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was a documentary. It was the documentary that
was it the Jim Carrey
commissioned
thing?
Right? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Was it the one where, or is it a different thing?
I don't know.
Documentary about Andy Kaufman separate from Man in the Moon. But it wasn't the whole Jim Carrey is channeling.
No, Andy it wasn't Kaufman that. That was called Jim and Andy or something. That was a separate thing. That was really good.
That was really good.
Fascinating. Yeah. But the one of those either proved or disproved that fight on air was real.
Right.
And it was one of those big mysteries as a kid. Yeah, it turned out to be fake.
They touched on it in Man in the Moon because you see, you know, Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman talking about it and planning it.
Yeah, and Letterman's in that playing himself.
Playing himself. Yeah.
But I remember as a very young person when the original thing happened in like 84, 83, whatever it was, mm-hmm. I remember going, this is such a big deal. It's going to rock the world forever. And then it became like, you know, one of the first big myths of is it true? Did it really happen? Didn't it happen? And this is, of course, a time where nobody was quite sure if wrestling was trying to be serious or not. Because, you know, remember they did a 2020 thing and one of the wrestlers punched the main news guy. I forgot his name. But there was a whole thing back then where everybody was like, oh, wrestling, it must be, we think it might be real.
Right.
You know?
They kept that ruse up for such a long time. They did a great job.
Some of them still do. Still real to me, man. Or still real to me, damn it. Anyway, hey, we got a bunch of feedback to rip through today before we get to our news. And one starts here with this. A man starts with this text.
A man starts with this text.
Oh my gosh, that guy. I want to make him home cooked bakery goods. I really do.
just to watch the joy on his face when he eats it.
Man, talk about okay, the Golden Globes is already weird with their categories. Can we have a perfectly stuck landing award for a for a TV show? Because my gosh,
it feels like an MTV video awards or something like that. It seems like one of their dumb categories that they do for that one.
I used to hate that one. Anyway, what's that, MTV Movie Awards? They still do those? Is that even a thing?
I think so. And it's deserving of your hate. It's so dumb.
My connection, my tenuous connection as it ever was to MTV in general, like my MTV consumption was like, you know, constant and never ending for about, I don't know, mm-hmm. 6 years of my youth. Mm-hmm. And then I just cut it off. And that was it. I don't know what's happening. Yeah.
You went just cold turkey one day.
Cold turkey.
And said,
yep.
Yeah, I don't need this wubba, wubba, wubba.
Oh, I guess in the aughts, I sort of got into Jersey Shore because it was trash. I guess I remember that. But
yeah.
Anyway,
I will remind you of that next time you rip on me for liking reality competition shows.
Oh yeah, no, I fully admit I ate that trash. It was such trash too. It's just garbage. All right, moving on to this. So somebody wrote in. His name is not Paul, but it was on the subject of Pauls. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about famous Pauls the other day. Logan Paul and Jake Paul came up, and it started the whole conversation.
We said that they're the worst Pauls, and we came up with a list of some of the best Pauls.
Yeah, here are some of the best Pauls. On the topic of Pauls, he would like to add Reiser. Forgot about Paul Reiser. That's great.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd, of course.
I'm surprised we forgot about Paul Rudd.
Right? You got your little tiny man. He's a little tiny, little size of an ant. Little guy. F. Tompkins. Paul F. Tompkins.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Paul Scheer, Paul Blart, Pauly Shore.
Okay.
Who's in the news right now because
he's got the new Richard Simmons short film biopic.
They premiered it here at Sundance and everyone's freaking out about it. I kind of want to see it.
I saw a clip of it and I can't tell how I'm supposed to feel about it. Is it...
Well, like, okay, so do you know what the premise is, or do we know what it's supposed to be?
No, I don't know if it's like a, you know, a serious kind of like, I mean, how can it be serious with Pauly Shore, right?
Right.
But from what I've seen, the clip was just of him doing exercise and sounding very much like a cross between Pauly Shore and Richard Simmons. Okay. Like you cannot take the Pauly Shore out of his impersonation of Richard Simmons.
Okay, so it's not like some transformative thing where he disappears into the character and you don't even know it's Pauly Shore.
No.
All right. I'm curious about it. Speaking of which, I got a friend in Park City who ran into Brad Pitt at a... Oh, what's it called? I forgot the name of these little convenience stores up there. Anyway, may have been a Maverick. But this is when this happens. Anybody I know who is out that way or even lives downtown, because they do a lot of screenings in Salt Lake City downtown. Sure. All the Hollywood people are here, and it's just lousy with them. So be walking down the street, and it's like, oh, there's one of the Hemsworths. Don't know which one, but hey, how's it going? It's always the weirdest time of year.
Yeah.
Anyway. He also says Newman's Own salad dressing.
That's another great Paul.
I thought we said Paul Newman, but maybe we didn't.
I thought we did too. But I thought for some reason we were just doing people whose last name was Paul, right? Because we talked about Les Paul. We talked about Mrs. Paul's fish sticks or something.
Brian is correct. That is what we were doing. We weren't looking at first names.
We didn't flip around and do first name Pauls.
Yeah, which is why.
Would have brought up McCartney.
You know, McCartney.
The least talented Beatle. I'm just kidding.
Paul Simon.
Paul Simon. Ryman Simon. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Like him. Yeah. He's pretty cool. I saw a video the other day of Garfunkel singing with his son. That was weird. Mm. His son looks like Kingpin.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if I can find this here real quick. Garfunkel. He struck me as very... let's see. Where is it? And son. Is
we're going to burn this city to the ground.
He looks like... who's the investor guy that's like as rich as Bill Gates? Help me.
You're not talking about Shark Tank dude, right?
No, the one that's really old.
Chad'll
know this. He's a billionaire, but he's...
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett, that's it.
It is Warren Buffett. Okay. All right.
Simon Garfunkel, the old guy.
The family that Succession. Oh, we're not totally based on the Buffetts.
Yeah, of course not. Here, I'm going to send you a picture of current Garfunkel, and you will see what I mean. Current Garfunkel. Look,
the younger Garfunkel.
Well, yeah, the current Garfunkel.
Oh, you're sending me a picture of current Art Garfunkel.
This is Art, okay. Yeah, and he looks like... He looks like financier Warren Buffett to me.
Oh, no kidding. That's wow.
Like, I'm not even kidding there, right? Look at that. Like, I could tell you that's Warren Buffett. And you go, okay, what's the story with Warren?
You. Yeah.
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 Blew my mind.
You could tell me that's a 60s musician, and it would probably take me 30 guesses before I finally got to Art Garfunkel.
It's like
I don't know art, but I know what I like, and that's not art.
It's like when you see who was the bassist for Nirvana? I forget it. It's Kovacek or whatever his name was. Chris.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, when you see him now, you're just like
Christ. Yeah, Christ or Christ.
Yeah. Christ. Yeah. You see him now, and you go, "That's not him. Who's that?"
Yeah.
I don't know who that guy is. He's like in finance or something. He didn't even do music after.
He totally does. And the problem is he's wearing a financy outfit too. Like he needs to, needs a turtleneck.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, Art Garfunkel
is all about the...
They're going to bury him in a turtleneck. Like a bridge over troubled water.
Exactly.
Let's see. Let's do this one. There's another one. These are all texts, by the way. This came to us from... Oh, what? What are you going to say?
No, no. I'm just saying,
Oh, cool. I thought you had a thing. This is from someone I don't have a name for. Burner cards on Apple Pay. So this is interesting.
Yeah, you do. It says it right in the first.
Oh, Luke from Boulder. He always does this, Luke. You throw me off every time. Most people sign at the end or not at all. Yeah. He always tells me up front and I forget.
Beginning. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Luke, for this. Luke from Boulder, Colorado wrote in, says the Apple card, aka credit card, allows for burner numbers to be created and used used quite easily. No limits or additional fees that I have seen, plus the way you manage your card in the Apple Wallet is very slick as well. Take that, Android team. The reason this came up is we were talking about burner cards and that site.
Like getting a number that you could use to buy something online without the worry of...
I'm going to try it. I'm going to try either this.
I feel comfortable showing my credit card on camera because there are no numbers on it.
Oh, also your camera washes it out real hard.
Yeah, well, it's also like stark white, too. Oh. So,
it's just reflecting any light you have in the room. Oh, that's the nice one. Yeah. I love a metal card, dude.
I do, too. I like, you can't, let me show off. Certainly not one of those, typically. But when I use this card, I do like to drop it into the plastic tray.
Yeah, it makes a sound you like. I like that. A
little resounding, yes. Oh, that's the sound of money leaving my account.
And I can tell you from recent experience, it's the best kind of card to accidentally have washed in your wallet in your pants.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything else you have in there is like separating, getting frayed, getting washed out, or whatever. But these metal cards.
Pulled apart from the,
it's all good. Chip still works. Everything's good. I did this just a week ago, and my driver's license made it, that my metal Amazon business card made it, and everything else is just a little weird now and soap corroded. but not the metal card. So take that, everyone. Go get yourself a premium cool guy card.
We'll see today. If you can anymore. That relationship between Apple and Goldman Sachs, I don't know if it's the relationship, but I read somewhere that the Apple card might be going away, or the tangible physical card might be going away.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this in DTNS. So I think the plan is if Goldman Sachs gets out of the partnership, and they may that may have a timer on it anyway, I don't know, then either so Apple has two choices. They either work with another processor, probably not that big a deal, you just switch processors, or they have talked internally, according to Tom when we were discussing this, said that they may do their own processing moving forward, become their own bank basically.
So, interesting. Okay.
Apple Bank. Imagine that.
Apple Bank. Yeah. Great.
Better have an easy interface and CarPlay compatible.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't want any trouble.
Only compatible with half of the money out there, though.
That's
unfortunately,
right.
So.
And if I take out a small business loan, I better get an entire U2 album forced onto my iPod.
you'll when you open an account, there will already be a U2 album in your account.
Bono will be my clerk. He'll help me with the paperwork. That'd be great.
That's right. He'll come up to you and say, "You gave me a bunch of 20s. You're taking them back. You're
taking them back. Bloody Sunday." He's a pirate.
He's a pirate.
Yeah. And then you go, "Edge, we're out of forms. Form 52B. Please get those up to the front of the bank, please. Thank you. I'm Bono. All right. Then we got one about the Temu stuff.
The Temu thing, yeah.
Tyler wrote this and said, Tyler here from sprawling metropolis of Minden, Nebraska, population almost 3,000. Oh, I love Minden. A small town, though. I really do like it.
Mm-hmm.
I may not want to live there permanently, but I like that idea.
What you want is a place like that is half an hour from a major city.
Yes. There you go.
So that you can have your, general store and the diner, but then it's like, oh, we need to go into the city. I need to go to Micro Center, half an hour away.
Yeah.
45 minutes or whatever.
Perfectly said. That's exactly how I'd want it. But I don't know. There's something about it where everybody knows everybody. That also has a horrible side to it, but I like the stereotype of a small town. How about that? I like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is for TMS. He says, I purchased a few things from Temu, and it's always been kind of bad. He says, I purchased some super cheap Lenovo earbuds that are uncomfortable AF and a baseball cap that broke the first day I wore it. I also got suckered into these.
That's like a baseball cap that breaks. Yeah. I mean, jeez.
The day you're wearing it, or your first day wearing it.
Yeah.
The Lenovo earbuds, I'm pretty sure I bought a pair of these. In fact,
did you?
I think I did.
Is that what you did when you decided not to do the AirPods Pros? AirPods Pro.
So I ended up. I ended up with the Ray. I really liked the Raycons a lot.
That's what it was. The Raycons. Yeah.
So those I ended up sticking with, but they had these Lenovos for like $12. I'm like, well, for $12, I may as well just look. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't through Temu directly. It was some other source, but it was the same earbuds. I know the ones he's talking about, and I thought I had them here, and I don't. They're in a little clamshell somewhere. Anyway, they are pretty bad. They're not great. The thing is, they're just, well, they just sound tinny. They charge fine. Yeah. They last long, but they don't sound great, and they kind of are uncomfortable in your ears. And it's a real, I found it to be a real bummer as a Lenovo, generally a Lenovo fan. I like most of their products. These are just bad. I don't know what happened there. It's like I don't know why they'd want their name associated with
it. It's just not a skill set they have. It's like when, Bo Jackson went into baseball kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's really annoying. He goes on to say, I also purchased a super cheap, super shady retro game kit that was pretty worthless. It was pretty much a Fire Stick with a cheap knockoff PlayStation controller. I wasn't expecting it to work, and no surprise, it didn't. I got a ton of ROMs out of it, though, so there's that. Yeah. My problem could be that I bought the cheapest things I could find, but either way, I have not had much luck with them. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know what, there are no real high ticket items on there, not really. It's all cheapy stuff.
And there's just that thing where, sometimes when you try to save a buck, you end up replacing it with the thing that you were trying to avoid buying in the first place, just later on. Like my next door neighbors are like, you get that fancy Ring doorbell, Brian. We're buying one that's on on Wish or something. It's like half the price. And guess what they have now? A Ring doorbell.
Oh, of course they do, dude.
Yeah.
Of course they do. Although I like my Wise. My Wise is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Well, Wise is a good.
It's a good alternative.
Definitely a good alternative.
Yeah.
And especially like if you do a little Wise like infrastructure in your house. Mm-hmm. Having everything like in one app for all that stuff is great.
It's good. And they got new, like they can tell if it's a car or a package or a person, you know, all the basic feature. Ooh. Oh, goodness.
Everything I just pulled off the,
oh, you got a little Wise camera.
Oh, it is a little Wise camera.
I do somewhere else too.
Yeah. So, what did we dump? Give us a description. What are we looking at?
Well, this is my laser ball. That's his butt. That goes right back up here on R2.
Okay.
But
it's okay, though. You didn't break it. It's good.
I just broke.
Oh, no.
I don't even know where the other one is. I just broke both arms off of my group magnet.
Oh, no. Now he looks like the, what she called, the flamidomide lady, the famous famous painting or sculpture. What's her name?
Oh.
You know the one where she's like kind of going.
Err. I was thinking the Venus de Milo.
Is that maybe that is what I'm thinking of. That was what I think of. Thalidomide, what? Well, that's unfortunate.
What's the Da Vinci drawing? What's the man? Vitramite. It's definitely not Vitramite. But what's the
armless guy?
He's not armless. He's like extra arms because he's doing the Vesuvian man. Vitruvian man.
Right. The Voyager thing painting that we sent.
Yes, the painting that went up in Voyager, or the drawing that went up in Voyager.
Gotcha.
Anyway,
I think that aliens are going to be confused.
This thing glues back together really well. This will actually be the second time I've glued it, and it did not break at the place where I glued it back together.
Well, that's a good sign.
I just have to find his other arm. Like, it completely...
Uh-oh. Check the cat's litter.
She doesn't have one. She doesn't have one anywhere near my desk.
Litter shitter.
I'll have to find that
later. That's funny, though. I break stuff all the time. This feels good to have it not be me for once. It's nice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You think you could just grow new arms, jeez.
I know, right? I got a theme for what you're about to say here.
Get tickets now.
All right. Brian got a golden ticket. What did you get?
Yeah. Any idea what I'm referring to, Scott?
I don't, although, okay, let me suss this out. Golden ticket implies... some kind of
golden ticket.
Yeah.
Golden ticket.
Did you see you were going to go see the new? Well, you already saw that movie.
I already saw Wonka, and I highly recommend it. It's very good.
Okay, let me think what else this would be. Golden ticket. You King Midas is patrolling the highways of Colorado and gave you a ticket.
I don't know how you figured it out. It's exactly right. No. I finally got an invite to the reopening. Thanks to the fine folks from South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the opening of Casa Bonita.
Woo! That's amazing, dude. So when are you going?
This is the thing that you have to get on their mailing list, and then they randomly draw names to allow people in there. And there's somebody said that one of the news articles said something like 20,000 names or something on that list. So they finally drew mine.
Oh my gosh.
So, Tristan's birthday is a week from Thursday. And I said, you want to go for your birthday? And he's like, yes. Cause he loves the goofiness of that place as well. He agrees that the food at before the South Parkening of it, the food was horrible. The sopapillas were great. The ambiance, the environment is fantastic.
Yeah.
So we're taking him for his birthday, and we're going with Uncle George and Aunt Barb and Tristan and Kay and me and Tina, and we're going to suss this out. Here's what's interesting. You have to pre-buy. Like, you pay one price, and then when you get there, they have the whole menu, and you choose. Every dish apparently is the same price. So whatever entree you choose, it comes with a soft drink and sopapillas. But if you want to buy alcoholic drinks, those cost extra. You pay for those at the place. But so I basically had to buy all six of our meals and taxes and Lakewood improvement fee and, you know, and a 15% something or other, like a
gratuity
or whatever. So.
Did you
anyway?
When is this? Is this soon?
A week from Thursday. So February 1st, we're going. And so So unfortunately, that means people are going to have to wait until February 5th, the next show day, to hear about the experience. But I'm hoping to have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Take some pictures and stuff too, you know.
I will. I'm going to try and take. I mean, pictures are definitely cool there, and I'm hoping they allow video. We'll see. Burgess Diesel or Weston Wright in the chat room went. He and the family went for lunch. Did they have any problems with you guys recording video?
Yeah, I wonder about that.
I'm curious about that. Or did they say you couldn't? They do. I was thinking this is just such an incongruous thing. Like, yes, your meal will be about $50 a person or 39 plus all these other fees and taxes. Yeah. Yeah. And please, no cosplay. So where else are you going to have that discrepancy? Like a meal that's over $40 and no, and a warning that no cosplay.
I didn't even see that coming until you just said it. Like, yeah. Wait, what? I'm sorry. What? No cosplay. Do they mean like South, right. Any kind of cosplay, I guess?
Yeah, I think they just don't want you dressing up as your favorite South Park character. Okay. Oh, good. Wes says all good with video and pics. Cool.
Okay, so. Cool. All right, you got to load us up with all that then.
Oh, gonna do that for sure.
That is your job. And here's a nice thing to end this conversation. There you go.
Oh.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Perfect. Look at that.
It's like we're there.
Was that the mariachi? Was that
no,
Banderas?
It is Banderas, but I think it's from Zorro is where that came from.
Oh, okay.
But gotcha. You were in the same actor zone. Nice job.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Interesting.
Time for us to turn on the cable news channel and known as FNN, right? The Frog Pants News Network. And,
oh, okay. Yeah.
Going to be a great time. Here you go. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
chili with sweet potato in it.
Yeah, dude. So
that does sound good.
Kim made this new recipe, totally made it up on her own, or you know, as she went, like she often does. But she made this amazing 7 bean chili. Maybe it was 5, might be 5. Like so, garbanzo and chickpea, and I don't know, amazing assortment of bean chili, real Angus beef in there, and then a bunch of tomatoes diced up and stuff, and then these little cubed sweet potatoes. Now, I don't like sweet potatoes. Kind of hate them. In most formats, I don't like a sweet potato, but in this little cubed up, put it in the chili thing, amazing. So good. Can't recommend it.
I mean,
that
does sound great, because the sweetness kind of balancing out the cumin and the saltiness of the rest of the chili sounds fantastic. Yeah. But you, so like sweet potato fries, not a thing for you?
Not really. I don't like them, no. If I'm given a choice, I can't. And I know they're better for me. Like, there's all these benefits to it. I don't like the texture or something. Something in that always bugged me.
So probably, what about if it's like Thanksgiving, you know, the sweet potato with the marshmallow?
Can't do those either. Can't either.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom drives
my
mom crazy.
Favorite things every year.
I know. My mom makes the stuff that she's made every year since I was a kid, and it's always the family favorite. Everyone loves it except me. Just can't eat it.
Interesting.
But this stuff in the chili, holy shiz, it was so good.
Nice. That sounds like a great combo.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it. Next time you go to Kim's Kitchen, grab yourself a bowl.
Kim's Kitchen. I have some... Some hot powder. What is that hot powder? I have some
chili hot powder.
Yeah. Some hot powder from that place.
Yeah, we usually do meth and stuff, but around Christmas we like to make some spices and
switch it over to actual food.
Yeah, that's good. You know, we're smart about when we you know, we're trying to expand our capabilities.
Some hot powder.
All right, check this out. This is Captain Kipper submitted this story, so credit where credit is due. Thanks, Captain Kipper, for this.
Thanks, Cap.
A woman bought a vintage dress at an antique store. It had a secret pocket with a very mysterious note in it.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, Victorian dress in the main antique mall. Unlike anything Sarah Rivers Cofield had ever seen before. She was taken aback, as the kids said.
It said, Ford Theater, 8 p.m., bring a gun.
Yeah, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? I mean, not for him, but for the rest of us, that'd be awesome.
Balcony seat, 2A.
Yeah.
Look for the guy with the stovepipe hat.
Yeah. It says its fitted bodice, its puffy bustle, and its lace cuffs reflected a bygone era. As a vintage costume collector, though, Rivers Cofield, that's a cool name, recognized it as a dress from the 1800s, 1880s to be specific. But despite its age, its delicate embroidery.
It's just a rat in a cage.
It's just a rat in a cage. Exactly. bronze silk and metallic buttons appeared intact, so it looked like it was a good one. She haggled the price down to $100 from $125 as she wondered where she'd store the two-piece garment. Price was higher than she usually pays for, as an archaeologist who collects antique costumes and purses for fun. An archaeologist, come on now.
Yeah. I know. Well, I mean, this whole thing is way flowerier than CNN usually delivers. This is
It's a little deeper than that.
It's a little HuffPo for you, CNN.
Yep. Rivers Cofield had no idea that the dress she bought in December of 2013, though, would unravel a mystery a decade later. So here we are, a decade later, inside a secret pocket tucked inside the bustle. It's a bustle pocket. Okay.
A bustle pocket. Gotcha. Okay. Hidden bustle pocket.
Were two crumpled sheets of paper and lists. With seemingly random words and places. So I'm going to read you what it said.
Okay.
The first little crumpled up piece said, Bismarck, comma, omit, comma, leafage, comma, bucks, comma, bank.
Okay.
All right. So Bismarck, omit, leafage, buck, bank.
You could probably leave out the commas on the next one.
Yeah,
too,
I'm not going to read those this time.
Comma, space.
Yeah, comma, space, capitalize, C.
Comma, chameleon.
Uh-huh. Dot, haha. All right, so how about this one?
Fair enough.
Whatever, it's one of my favorite moments of my life. Don't ever change. Calgary, Cuba, unguard, confute, duck, and capital F Fagin, so proper noun Fagin.
A name, yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a name.
From Great Expectation. Oh, Oliver.
Right. Believe. I think that's correct. Notes on the margin of the papers appeared to depict time. A tag stitched into the dress had a handwritten name. It was Bennett. Now they say they're baffled and they want to figure out what's going on. Is it a secret code? Was it a secret message that was dangerous to tell someone, you know, this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it. I'm looking at the article doesn't even do the list justice. One has like 10 lines of stuff on it, including what's this one?
Oh yeah, I can't read this.
Sun Omega League New Forbade Event.
Yeah.
Green Bay Nobby Pipet.
Yeah.
Helena anus info we nail each.
Oh, I'm sure it's anus.
I'm sure it's anus. Yeah. Might be onus.
Gotta be. They did a bunch of researchers. Canadian researcher cracked the code. Would you like to hear what they found?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Wow.
So,
all right.
So here you go. Let me pull this over here so I can see it. Okay. So then a Canadian researcher cracked the code. Wayne Chan, a researcher at the University of Manitoba in Canada, stumbled across the online code or the code online somewhere in 2018. Said he looked at 170 code books and none of them matched the message. I worked on it for months, but didn't get anywhere with it. I set it aside and didn't look at it again, says Chan. Skip ahead a little bit here. He said he found and discovered, had a little bit of a breakthrough, that he discovered the messages were in fact a weather report.
Oh.
And they were not encrypted for secrecy, but because the code allowed forecasters to shorten detailed weather reports into fewer words, Chan said. In the era of the telegraph, such shorthand was cheaper than sending a big batch of words and temperature readings. That makes sense.
Shorten it up.
That's yeah, no kidding. Okay. So yeah. She was Victorian era weather.
Yeah.
TV weather person, basically. We got a high pressure front coming in from Bismarck Omit Leafage Buckbank. Meanwhile, over here in...
Yeah. There's a great, actually... it says here. For example, the line Bismarck Omit Leafage Buckbank has surprisingly specific details. Bismarck meant it was recorded at Bismarck Station, which is now North Dakota.
Okay.
Omit means the air temperature was 56 degrees. I don't know how you get that, but whatever. And the barometric pressure was 0.08 inches of mercury. Leafage. Yeah, I know.
Before we get too far from that,
yeah.
Why not just do 56 with a little circle?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. 100%. I would wonder. I don't know why this stuff's so weird.
That was the short. Okay.
Shouldn't that be. Omit is longer than that.
56, little tiny circle, done.
Yeah. You would save yourself a character and however much money that cost back then. I don't know what people are paying. What, a penny per character? I have no idea. Yeah. Anyway, Buck indicated there was no precipitation, while Bank meant a windy velocity of 12 miles per hour and a clear sunset. So obviously on the other side of this, you would have to know the translation of the terms.
Yeah, exactly. Bank means a wind velocity of 12 miles per hour and a clear sunset. That's amazing to me. Like, what?
Wild.
Dr. Calhoun says telegraphs charged by the word, so they made a code to put as much info in per word. So... But just, all right, so what if it's 15 miles per hour wind velocity and a cloudy sunset?
You have another word. It's like
another word, yeah.
Chicken fart. Jeez. Or something. So it doesn't sound it's a per character. It sounds like it's a per word. So you could even, in theory, do longer words to say more information that would only get charged once because it's just a single word.
Right, exactly.
This
make
is
up
like
a word that's make up a word that is 56 degree barometric pressure of 8 inches of mercury. No, that's right. It's all one word. It's all one word.
This is like 90s text plans, you know, where everybody was trying to get around the limits because there were such hardcore limits. You didn't want to pay per text or whatever, or per character or whatever they did. Anyway, he said he even got it down to the day. May 27th, 1888 was the exact day of this weather.
Based on using that code, he was able to figure out the day. That's crazy.
Yeah. I love this kind of crap.
Yeah, no kidding. Take that, Cockney rhyming slang. I think we have a brand new code.
Hell yeah, we do.
Yeah.
That was great. Let's move on to this story. Terry from Chicago sent this one in. Thanks, Terry, for this. Mm-hmm. I always use your stories if you guys submit them. If you put them
Terry
in our Discord.
Z, right? This Terry is Terry Z.
This is Terry Z. Yeah, we see him all over the damn
love
place.
Terry Z. Totally do. Yeah, he's lots of great emails from him, lots of comments, feedback. He's
quick to comment on Twitter, all the places. I refuse to call it X. Sorry, that's just how it is. Terry in Chicago says, Florida man arrested for reportedly tossing a gator into a Wendy's. This is pretty cool.
Mm.
Jupiter, did we talk about this guy? Or do we just, we've been in Jupiter before.
It just feels like we did because this is something that feels like Florida.
Yeah, it does.
By the way, do you think in ancient Roman times they said, so for five, we're going to use this V. This V will now be five. And then for 10, we're going to use this symbol. We'll call it Twitter.
Yeah.
No, I think it's an X. X. I like that better.
Yeah, that's much better. Et tu, Brute? Yeah. Et tu?
Right, exactly.
Why, because Jupiter, Florida.
I need to workshop that joke. There is a joke in there somewhere. I don't know where it
there's
is.
There's just some shortcuts.
It's not there yet.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of open mic night. You can come up here,
exactly.
Work it out with the crowd, see what their responses are.
Exactly. So far, crowd, not so good.
No, kind of a tough crowd, to be honest. Jupiter's where we spend a lot of time there with weird stories. That's why this is familiar to me. But Jupiter, Florida, a man was arrested for throwing a live alligator into a Wendy's. Threw it through the drive-thru, by the way.
Ooh, that's pretty. That takes a little more talent.
Yeah. 23-year-old Joshua James was, Josh James, was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, illegal killing, processing or capturing of an alligator, and second-degree larceny, petty theft.
Is the aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, is the alligator the deadly weapon in this case?
Yeah, it's the alligator.
Nice. Okay, so he didn't also have a gun. He just...
Yeah.
Wow. All
right. It was a smallish gator, too. It wasn't like a... we're all imagining a huge swamp gator,
sure.
But this was just
three
like
and a half feet is what they're saying the size of the gator was, which...
Which would fit through a window.
Fix your frosty machine.
Yeah.
Hoorah!
Bring back the potato bar. Bruh. Do you remember that? They had that whole
potato
thing.
Bar.
I loved that.
Yeah.
It wasn't good, but I loved it. Mm-hmm. I really did. They had pasta and like, that's a weird, what a weird thing Wendy's did then. Dave was still alive.
Yeah, that's right. The pasta thing.
Yeah. That whole thing, that whole bar was like pasta stuff. They had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pasta salad, potato toppings, salad, regular salad, right?
Salad, it was a, yeah. I think it was like a salad
regular
bar.
Salad bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And chili. They had a lot of chili there. They can still get the chili.
Well, they still do. The chili supposedly is made from the parts of the burgers that don't, that fall off the grill or that get broken up as they're flipping them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like
if it, all the gross meat.
That's what the rumor is. I don't know if that's totally true, but.
Wow. Did we have someone call in on that?
I don't know if somebody ever debunked that or if they bunked it.
I'm having memories, but I don't know if they're correct.
Yeah, it feels like, I know we've talked about it before. By the way, Ikor says that the gator was dead. The gator was dead.
Oh, the gator was dead. Well, it still hurt somebody.
It feels like it's not as deadly a weapon if it's a dead alligator.
No, but they did go on. Well, the other charge was illegally killing, possessing, or capturing an alligator, which I think they did all three of those things then if they killed it. Mm. Or I don't know where he found it. Maybe he found it on the street. Or maybe the gator was destined to make some of that chili meat they're famous for.
That's right.
I don't know.
Some old-fashioned gator meat hamburgers.
Hell yeah. That guy rolling in his grave. Let's see. He's not released on bail as of Monday afternoon. Let's see. The incident occurred in October, but James has only been arrested recently by U.S. Marshals. Sir, open the door, U.S. Marshals. We're here to... get you for that Wendy's gator incident.
Chris Isaac, let me in. I'm a U.S. Marshal. Let me in.
Let me in, Chris Isaac.
Here you're possessing a gator. Deep cut. Katie Talmo says, didn't we play the Wendy's training video singing about the meat that goes into the chili?
Did we?
We might. I know we played the Wendy's training video, which is just a gem.
Oh, it's life is what it is.
It is. It's life.
Can we find that real quick? Let's see. Wendy's training song? Was it a song?
It was a rap. You put the meat onto the grill, and then you have to sit and chill. When it's time to flip, you gotta use your spatula, and there's no word that rhymes with spatula.
Oh, here it is. Wendy's grill skills. Let's play a bit. We'll just see what we get.
Eddie Van Halen right there.
Yeah, really for sure.
Grill skill.
Okay, well, here comes Dave Thomas to say some words.
Hi, I'm Wendy's founder, Dave Thomas. From the day I opened the first Wendy's, my goal has been to serve the best hamburger in the business.
So many missing letters in that whole sentence.
Oh, it's amazing. I can't find the rap part. It's in here. This is a longer video. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Okay, this might be it.
Patty Squirrely on the hill of that bun. Now, there you go, Billy. You give it a shot. Don't be afraid. I think you're going to be hot.
Okay.
Where I love NWA's early work. It's just fantastic.
I know. You got to start somewhere, Brian.
It's Easy E right there.
A little Eminem on 8 Mile trying to make it work. Somewhere here, is this it? Maybe this is it.
DOC before
when
the accident.
When an order's placed, you're ready to go. Just drain the meat just like so. Then when all the draining's done, you can place a patty squarely on the heel of the bun.
Oh, my Lord. I want to die. I can't play the rest of this. I can't play the rest of that. It's awful.
Oh, it's so fantastic.
It's so freaking bad. Well, anyway, thank you for that reminder. Good luck to him. Let's move on to one final story. Yeah. Jay Gordon sent this one in. It's all fan.
Look at that. All submissions today. I love it.
Yeah, you guys are part of the newsroom. You're part of what makes this work.
This is my reminder to make sure I pull up the notes on today's in the middle. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. Good time to be doing that.
That's good reminder. Yes.
Okay. G. Gordon Liddy says, sent this in.
Okay.
Ask your uncle, I guess. I don't know.
It's not that old.
Suspects find automobile stolen during armed robbery, police say. Now, that may not sound like much, but I'll explain. Officers say they arrested two of three men, armed individuals, who allegedly robbed a Colorado check cashing service on Saturday. A lot of Colorado connections today. An armed robbery in Colorado turned awry when the alleged perpetrators, when police say someone stole their getaway car in the middle of a heist.
Oh, no.
So while Brian was trying to
take... a lot of Tarthif going on in Colorado right now, so...
Is there? Is that a thing?
This totally tracks, yeah.
Oh, that's not good. I don't
like
that.
Yeah, it's... We're second in the nation for car thefts, or we were last year. I don't know if that's gotten better, but...
Oh, my gosh, dude.
I know. I don't know what's going on. It's...
I feel like we had a moment like that. Oh, no, this year was... last year it was porch piracy put us, like, at the top for some reason for a while.
Mm.
Lots of that going on here.
You need Mark Rober. You need some Mark Rober devices on people's porches.
I know. Ever since that guy said he was going to stop making videos, they've gone up.
Right.
I mean, they kind of have. But I was also reading, this is interesting, totally switch subject here, but I was reading about cancer rates in the States and what were the highest and lowest. And it was because Sarah, who's here from Mississippi for a few more days, she had said to me, because we're having a bunch of cancer stuff in the extended family. And,
sure.
And she goes, I go, man, I don't know what's going on. She goes, it's Utah. I'm telling you, everybody moved to where we are. It's Utah. And I went, that's interesting. She's obviously kidding. She's lived here for 30 years. Just barely moved. But let's go look at the stats. I just wanted to see the numbers. So I looked up the National Cancer Registry numbers. They have CDC data, all this stuff. And number one with the lowest rates per capita. Utah. Shocked me.
Really?
Guess who number two is right now, Brian? Guess who number two is? Colorado.
Oh, look at that. All right.
And not by much. You guys are just right there with us.
Cool.
At the bottom of that list, in the bottom three, Kentucky, West Virginia, Mississippi. So I'm not saying that she was completely backwards on her exclamation about Utah, but she was exactly backwards. I'm kidding, though. She's fine about it. But but I went deep on that. It was crazy. Like, some of the stuff in rural areas didn't come down to just, oh, there's a lot more smoking there, or there's a lot more of these other risk factors. The risk factors were they don't get checked very often. They don't do preventative when they're out in the middle of nowhere.
So
they're not getting their colonoscopies. They're not getting their prostate checked, and they're not getting mammograms. They're just hanging out in the barn doing good work. You know, and when people come up to him and go, hey, when's the last time you've been to a doctor? Your answer's like, well, out in these here parts, we don't need much deal or no need for a doctor.
And don't need no fancy doctoring.
Yeah, it definitely had the vibe in that data from that. But it was fun to look at. Anyway,
Luke Sightwalker says Massachusetts is number one for stolen cars. So,
you're in.
That's who we're competing with right now.
I wonder why it's so high there. That's weird. I would think smaller, more dense city-ish East Coast stuff would be worse because...
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Yeah. You just got a lot more cars, maybe? I don't know. Less spread out.
Boston, yeah. Boston's just a hive of scum and villainy.
For sure. I mean, I've seen...
just kidding. I love Boston. I actually do really like Boston.
I've seen the town. I know what's up. That's it for today's news. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we'll be joined by our old pal Dan the Tabletop Man. Yeah, that's right.
Yay!
It's Dan's turn. He couldn't do it last month because of Christmas stuff, but he's back.
Right.
Dan is back again. So that's all coming up in a moment. Before that, though, musical selection from Brian Ibbett Corporation.
Yeah, we're going to go to the UK, and all those people are saying, all right, thanks for playing the rock yesterday, Brian, but what about punk? What about punk rock? Can we get some punk? Like, yes, we can. How about today? We'll give you some punk. This is a brand new punk group called, or Rising, I should say. They've been out a little bit, but getting bigger. UK punk band called Pet Needs.
Oh, wow.
Their brand new album is called Intermittent Fast Living, which is great. This is the brand new song. It's called Sleep When I'm Dead. Here are Pet Needs.
Singing from the ceiling, but you'll never lose if you refuse to choose to get back. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
My name is Joe, and I work in a button factory. I got a wife and a dog and a family. Well, one day, my boss comes up to me. He says, "Hi, Joe. Are you busy?" I says, "No." He said, "Okay. Turn the button with your right hand."
I think she's the saddest girl to ever hold a martini.
We're back. Who was that again? That music.
That was, well, that was Valerie Galino. You should just ask me to start with. That is Pet Needs, the band, UK punk band Pet Needs. The brand new song Sleep When I'm Dead, coming from their forthcoming album, which comes out next month, February 16th, Intermittent Fast Living. Get it? Intermittent fasting, but sure. Intermittent Fast Living. What?
Yeah, right.
Pet Needs.
I know people who live that lifestyle. Intermittent fast living.
Was that Rain Man that Valerie Galino talks about, the saddest woman to ever hold a martini?
Yes, you are correct.
It's when she's trying to hook Raymond Babbitt up with a woman at the bar or something.
Yep, like, you're absolutely correct.
Go talk to her kind of thing.
Yep, and then she went back to the hotel with Tom Cruise and got naked, I believe.
And got naked.
Yep. Yeah. Good recall on that one. That was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I had forgotten entirely. That could have been what's her name in From Dusk Till Dawn, getting ready to put her foot in what's his name's mouth.
Salma Hayek.
Yeah. Filling his mouth with foot.
That looks like the saddest woman to ever pour whiskey down her shoe into a man's face.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, Vanilla Sky. Is it Vanilla Sky? It's not. Right. She's talking about Cameron Diaz.
Oh,
saying,
hold on.
Because they're looking at her. It's not even Valerie Galino. It's Penelope Cruz.
Here, let me play it.
I think she's the saddest girl to ever hold a martini.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's Penelope Cruz.
We've been doing Film Sack a long time. It's hard to
apparently
tell.
So.
Yeah, it's totally fine. Let's check in with Wendy's real quick to see how they're doing. Hold on.
All right, Billy.
Okay, they're super stoked about the burger and the flipping. So now that we've done that, we'll check in with them later. Let's get Dan in here, all right? Because Geek Jock Dan is ready to roll, to be here, to be our man in the street. And he has an intro and everything.
Here's a tangent for you.
Be careful, may cause drowsiness.
Oh, look who it is. It's Dan Dan the Tabletop Man joining us after a little bit of a hiatus, and it's really great to have him back. Hi, Dan.
Greetings, programs.
Hey. So hey, man.
Pretty boys.
What's going on? You know, one of the things we like to do when you're on is, you know, we like to get to the board games and what's fun for the tabletop fans and all that stuff these days, but sometimes we get a little medical, and Dan's in the field. He knows a lot about pharmaceuticals and what's going on there. But I couldn't think of anything to ask you this time. So did you bring anything that's like, you know?
So it's funny because I had actually wanted to talk about kind of like a lot of these manufacturer back orders and the way at the beginning of the year, how like I work in prior authorizations now. I've been a pharmacist for almost 25 years, but now I've got like the dream job where I sit and do prior authorizations for Medicaid. So I just want to tell anybody out there, if you have any issues with prior authorizations at the beginning of the year or different things, kind of changing tiers and such, and you ever want to ask any questions, I can't guarantee I can give you an answer, but I could probably give you a little bit of guidance. So feel free to DM me on Discord or send me a message on Twitter. But your conversation earlier, kind of with the shorthand and everything, with I guess it was what, the meteorology shorthand stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So as you may know, there's a lot of shorthand with pharmacy. And especially nowadays, it's a little different because almost all prescriptions are, medical, there's a lot of medical shorthand, but almost all prescriptions now are kind of electronic. But in the old days, back when like I was working in retail, we would have to decipher some of the worst handwriting ever seen. So I thought it would be fun for you guys to look at, and I pasted two easy ones into the chat. These are kind of easier ones. And then I'm going to show you, then I'm going to paste one that even stumped me, reason why I know what it was, because I had the answer. But the third one I'm going to give you is ridiculously hard, and it gives you an idea of what. So can you?
Oh my gosh! Look at these, dude. All right, let's talk about the first.
These first two I figured out just because of knowing drugs and such. But can you figure out either one of those?
Positive lung, positive Lomi,
positive Lomi,
Pestalomi, Pestamalomi, on wheat, 3 ounces.
All right, let's see. I'm going to say the first one is some. Let's see. Pastine along Lonnie, and then something Unity or Cindy, and then the other one Rusty Whelp Loops, something like that. So I have no idea. These are insane.
And the only reason why I put these two in here because these are two drugs that you probably both have heard of before. So the first one is Claritin 10 milligrams.
Oh, kidding?
Really? A day. Yeah, it basically says daily number 30.
Okay.
And that first word is Claritin? Jeez.
Yep.
That looks like
that looks not like that word.
Yeah, exactly.
Looks like something positive 10 milligrams or something like that. So yeah.
I was thinking that was one letter and it's really two. It's a C, N, and L, but why is it up so high then? Jeez.
Yeah. Sucks. I mean, I always thought the stereotype of doctors who can't write, I just always thought that was kind of overblown.
A stereotype.
Yeah, just overblown, and it's not usual, but it sounds like it's like dead on sometimes.
And Jerry has sent me a few of his prescriptions years ago, and his handwriting is pristine. I'll have you know, our buddy Jerry is absolutely pristine, his handwriting. Yeah.
That's good to know.
So the second one is an antibiotic.
Oh, okay, that may help. It might. Let's see. Antibiotic.
It looks like it begins with an R, but that...
Yeah, that could be a D, or a bad P. Okay, I'm gonna say
100 milligrams is my guess for the second part on that first line.
Oh, right, that's probably a number. I like your thinking. Yeah. What's that down?
Rocky Duchamp is what that thing says.
I gotta give credit where credit is due. Mikey in the chat got it. It's doxycycline 100.
What?
Okay.
And it's it's twice a day. So BID twice a day. And that bottom actually says 7 days.
Whoa.
Okay. Now that you say that, I see it.
I can kind of see the seven. It's got a dash through it. Yeah.
And okay. I will make you, if you want to show that last one to the chat, show the third one to chat. I won't waste any time on that one because there's no way in the world you're going to get that.
What's up with the RX and like crappy Comic Sans, you know, the prescription thing up in the corner?
Yeah. Can we get rid of that?
I think that somebody did that in the 60s. So it's been there like forever.
Okay. Jeez. It seems so arbitrary, this thing. A slip of paper, just because it has an RX on it, you're supposed to take it seriously. And then they scribble this shit out, and people like you are supposed to make sense of it. So I see here, give me the class of drug here on the third one.
Well, so I'll give you a class of drugs. So you may not have heard of this drug, but it's for opioid dependents.
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
Let's see. Is that an S or an F?
It looks like, I was going to say, look, or J maybe?
What was that stuff that Michael Keaton took in Dope Sick to feel better?
Yeah, right.
Or that was like a transitional thing.
It's great because this is like medicine and a board game.
Yeah.
This should be, you should come up with an actual tabletop game that is identified.
Deciphering. Yeah, exactly.
That's not bad.
So this one is, it's called Suboxone.
Oh, it is that thing. Okay. It is what he used in the,
that
in
is
the show.
Suboxone was the thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Suboxone 8/2, which is really bad on there. And that last little bit is sublingual. And then the bottom just says number 16, 1 BID, and you use it twice a day. Wow. Generally for that. Some people use it 3 or 4 times a day. But yes, that's Suboxone sublingual. Unbelievable. Jeez. How bad some handwritings can be.
Why? And then this is just, what do you think that you can attribute this to? So even if it's, you know, maybe it's not every doctor, obviously Tolbert does really nice writing, but
I think it's
enough
more speed
to it.
Than anything else.
Is it
they
that
just,
what it
they
is?
Just okay. Get it done with. Yeah. I mean, granted, it also depends on where you're writing it. Cause I have, notoriously crappy handwriting. Everyone's always like, oh, all doctors have bad handwriting. Well, if I concentrate and I take, you know, a lot of times I'm writing with my elbow in the air. And, you know, if you sit there and you've got your hand on, like, I don't know why I've studied this with myself. Like, if I sit there and I have my arm on the table and I take my time and write things out, you can actually read it. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, you're on the fly, you know, a lot of times you're holding a prescription pad in your hand mm-hmm. and then you're just writing mm-hmm. things and ripping it off and handing it to somebody. In that case, it's not going to be good. I've known a lot of doctors in the past that had their nurses write them, and then they just signed them. Or the nurses kind of maybe wrote them and signed them. That's pretty much why nowadays we have almost everything is electronic. Even we're getting to almost every state now, like Schedule 2, narcotics are even electronic. But you have to have all these safeguards in place with, like, you know, obviously security measures so nothing can be hacked and stuff like that. I'm not sure if New York still does the triplicate forms or if they've got something in effect where you can still do, you know, you can now still do it electronic. But it just saves time and money and energy. I mean, I won't get into, like, there are a lot of negatives to it, you know, as far as things in stock and crap like that. But anyway, it is so much better now that you can just get it all typed out because you really can't screw that up all that bad.
Yeah. Right. There's probably abbreviations and things that they can use that sometimes probably get things a little confusing. But
you could have told us this was written by a monkey on LSD, and I'd believe you. That's how bad these are.
Oh boy, yeah. I've seen some, and you kind of get used to. And that's what's good about being in retail pharmacies. You'll have doctors that you'll just know what it is, you know, because you've seen their handwriting 1,000 times a day. So you know what it is. And then there's other times where you know, we used to have the bat phone to one of the offices near us that I had a special number for one of the nurses that I'd be like, Dr. S, I can't read his crap again. And she'd be like, oh, which one is it? And she'd know the patient. And she'll tell me exactly what it is because they probably just left the office or something. But, you know, you just have people that have notoriously bad ones, but it's funny how you can, you know, even in, and actually, I'll be honest, poor hospital pharmacists, they have to read chart notes, you know, as far as, and a lot of times the scripts that come in the charts, and sometimes they're IVs, and you're like, I have no idea. So you're just hoping that, you know, sometimes the doctors won't even, they'll try to go fast, so they won't enter it into the computer. They'll just fax over the little slip of paper, and that's a disaster.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, right, because, you had faxing pixelation onto that, and geez.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you're trying to, you know, when you're trying to mix something up with, like, you know, which diluent you're using or which, you know, carrier, you know, you're trying to find D5W or normosaline or half and half. And then you're trying to find out the, you know, how much vancomycin to use, stuff like that. It was a nightmare when I worked in a hospital. And I worked, you know, mostly overnights in a hospital based where we would get faxes from a bunch of different hospitals. And I'm telling you, man, you would get some doctors that were just half asleep or just woke up from a nap or a lot of times the best thing they could ever do is like, you'd say like vancomycin per pharmacy. And then you're like, thank God I could do this myself.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll be dosing it and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, how about some board games?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do
so
that.
So the one thing we didn't get, we usually get sort of this yearly look at like best ofs for us or whatever, but we didn't have time. It was too crazy. All kinds of stuff going on and we weren't able to do it. So my understanding is you brought a little bit of that today. So catch us up.
So I went ahead, and usually I like to do this in January anyway, so it's kind of perfect that we've done this, that we're here in January. So I put together a top five list of Scott games and a top five list of Brian games, all perfect. From last year, and there is no overlap. However, there's one on Scott's list that I think Brian would really like your number one, Scott, so we'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
Of course, we'll start with Scott. And there's going to be an honorable mention here, Scott, because we talked about this game a lot, and a lot of people have been mentioning it to you on Twitter, so I think it was almost a cheat, because I just want to talk about more games.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you that Thunder Road Vendetta, obviously, would probably be one of the number one games for you.
Sure.
It's just a great kind of dice chucking. And you don't need any expansions. The expansions just make it more complex, and we don't need any of that for Scott. We just need it to just make a nice, quick. It's basically just a racing game with shooty, shooty, fighty, fighty in it, kind of in just frenetic form. So yes. Great game.
Let the persisting rumor that I only like simple games continue, everyone. Let us all go down that path together.
Actually, and I'm going to throw a little
rumor. I think you've said that if it's a book, if it's an instruction manual that's thicker than your thumbnail.
I don't like rule books. I like playing games with complex systems, be they video games or tabletop games. I just don't want to be the guy that has to read that shit. Just play and show me.
And so all of these games, with the exception of Brian games, we're going to assume somebody has read the rules and is teaching it to Scott.
Okay.
He's watching it on, he's watching it from that guy with the smiley face that tells you how to play the game.
That's right. Yeah. Either Rodney Smith or John Gets Games or any of those guys.
Yes.
So number five for you, Scott, is a kind of a reimplementation, kind of like change things up a little bit, but it's a great thematic game, and it's called Santa's Workshop. Now, it's going to be a little bit, and I'll put in the chat later after we're done, Scott and Brian, I'll throw links to every one of these games. So if you want to throw them in the show notes, we can.
Yeah.
But number five is going to be Santa's Workshop. This is from Elf Creek Games and a great designer, Keith Ferguson. They've kind of updated the game a little bit because there was some part of the boards that weren't really being used in the past. So they kind of fixed kind of the reindeer. It's a simple worker placement where you're just going places, getting resources, and then turning them in to create gifts for kids. Scott, you'd love this one because it is a little thinky. I use the word thinky in quotes here because it's not really thinky, but it does have some strategy to it. So I think you'd really dig that. But I know how you kind of, like you said, Scott, you have a brain. You like to use it.
Yeah, I sure
so
do.
This will be a big fan for
yeah,
it.
Big fan of the brain.
And the art is excellent.
Wait, can I ask you a question about this? Thing that because it's very, obviously it's very Santa themed, are you going to be able to play this the rest of the year and feel okay about it? Or is this like a holiday only kind of game you want to pull out?
I mean, you can really play this any time of year because, even though it's a Santa theme, when you break it down to it, you're just getting resources and turning it in for, stuff.
Plus, those elves are making toys year-round anyway. So,
that's a good point. There's no Christmas to them.
True.
Christmas never ends. Sure.
Mm-hmm. And what I really would recommend is playing it in like October because then it reminds you to start buying presents early so you're not stuck in December 20th.
That's a good idea.
It's funny. Like the board reminds me of Clue with all the different rooms and the hallways that get to them and stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. It sure does. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So number four. Very, very easy. Scott, you could even read the rules. It's one page. This is called Nimalia. And it's kind of like a take on Animal. N-I-M-A-L-I-A, Nimalia. This is from Lucky Duck Games. Basically, all you're doing, you're going to draft. You have a hand of three cards, and there's basically 2x2. There's different pictures in it. You're going to draft a card, and you're going to put it in your tableau in front of you. And basically, your tableau can't get bigger than 6x6. But the catch is you always have to put it over at least one other square. There's going to be different ways of scoring each round. There's going to be 5 rounds. Each round, you'll be scoring either 2 or 3 of the different pre-sorted scoring things. Very, very easy. Really cool because everybody loves drafting. It has that 7 wonders drafting thing where you'll start off with 3 cards. You'll draft one, send it to the left or right, depending on a round, and then they have 2 cards. They draft one, and then you get the last one. So you always have to use at least 1 card every turn.
So
like a card version of Sagrada, kind of, with the required placement of the cards. You can only play the card here, kind of thing.
The only difference is it is kind of has that Sagrada feel a little bit to it, but the difference is there's no placement regular. You can place
really?
Anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the only rule.
Gotcha.
No, the only rule is it has to be, it can't be more than, I'm pretty sure it's either 6, I think it's 6x6. All it can be is you can't go beyond 6x6, and it has to be covering at least one. And you can actually cover a whole 2x2 of the one you just played, but it has to cover at least one square, which is good. I mean, you're gonna look at the different scoring, like some scorings may be like, you need to have a panda next to a water space, and that'll get you 5 points. But not every scoring thing will score every round.
Right.
Gotcha.
Interesting. Okay, that looks cool. I like the art on that a lot, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the art is very, very nice.
It's very nice.
Number three is pretty easy, and you've probably seen it everywhere. But to be honest, I really think you dig it, Scott, and it's Dizzy Lorcana. It's a CCG that came out last year. It is surprisingly really easy to learn. And you don't even really need to buy a bunch of packs. Just buy two starter decks and play. It's great because you have Disney characters. The game's easy to play. It's not even really very, there is kind of quote unquote like attacking, you know, you're basically challenging another character, but it doesn't have a lot of the fighty that you would hear, you know, in Magic or even Pokemon and stuff like that. But so they kind of hide some of that in there, and you're going on quests, you're just getting points, you're racing to 20 points. It's really easy.
Is it a kind of game you buy booster packs for, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they sell tons of booster packs. The second set is out now, but they have the kind of the pre-made starter decks, which would be an easy way for you to get into it. Again, the rules are not, I mean, you could watch probably a 10-minute video on this and learn the rules in no time.
Are there other Lorcana games, and this is just a Disney-fied version of the game or something? Or is this?
No, okay. I mean, it's very, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the CCG that it would be the same as. I mean, it does have a lot of roots and kind of the Magic roots to it.
Yeah, it looks Magic-y to me when I look at it.
Yeah, it almost everything nowadays has got its roots in either Magic or Pokemon or some of the earlier CCGs. So it definitely has some roots in Magic, and it'll, you know, if you know those rules, you'll pick it up even easier.
Pretty sure I saw this at a Target, I think. I didn't think much about it.
If you saw it in a Target, you got lucky because, man, my God, do the collectors get in on there and they just pound the Targets and the Walmarts and grab it. Because it's still, I mean, especially early on, it was impossible to find, but now it's still getting a little bit more out there, but it's still crazy collectible. Disney collectibles are unlike any other thing in the world. It's unbelievable. And games just become even more, because what the problem with a Disney themed game is, not only do you get the gamers that want the collectibles, is now you're bringing in the Disney collectible people that want the collectibles. So it's even harder to get. They may not even play the game. They just like the cards and, you know, want to buy and sell and make some money on it.
Yeah, there's only two in stock on Amazon, and they are $72. They seem like they're just kind of hard to get. Yeah.
Jeez, oh, they are. Yeah, it's insane.
Weird.
And like I said, it has been better at the FLGSs out there. So definitely check that one out.
Okay.
Number two, Imperial Miners. This is Imperial Miners from Portal Games. This is kind of set in that Empires of the North, Imperial Settlers universe. It's a real simple game. You basically have a hand of cards, and you're kind of placing your cards in either, you know, depending on the row that you're placing them. You're starting at the top, and you're digging down like miners into the mine. And I think I went over this one a few months ago, but this was one of my games of the year. And depending on the cards you place, so, you know, when you buy them, you then have to get out of the mine. And as you go up the rows, you're going to be triggering effects. Very, very easy to play. Very cool game. And again, it's very simple to learn. And it'll take you 2 seconds to learn this game. And it plays in about an hour. 1 to 5 players. It's a great family game.
I do remember this one because I remember these cool mineral pieces.
Oh, the gems. Yeah. I don't know who. It was funny. We had a discussion.
Those are really cool.
Yeah.
We had a discussion on the last Geek All-Stars because all these games now use that same kind of mold. And I think they're called, like, their technical term is taint, which is very funny. I think the technical term is taint for them. But like whoever came up with the file or the first, the first makeup of that first brick or gem, it probably made a fortune on, since everybody uses that now.
Yeah.
That same symbol.
Yeah,
same
that's shape. Cool. All right, so that is a good one. All right, and so
the game of the year for you, Scott, that I think you would absolutely love, and it's a two-player game, and you would probably, you and Kim, you, anybody, two players, you'd love it. The Star Wars deck building game is awesome. It's so good. There's a couple of, like, there's an older one. It was called Star Wars, the deck building game too, but there's the one that's from 2023. There's the one from 2023 is Star Wars, the deck building game. It's really fun, Scott. It's basically one box. You don't have to collectible. It's nothing real collectible about it.
I like
it's just
that.
One box, shuffle up and go. And you know how to play deck building games.
Oh, yeah. We talked about
this is
one,
Fantasy Flight, isn't it? That's the one.
Oh, yeah. And it's pretty cheap. I think it's only like $30 out there.
Yeah.
Man, it's so good. And thematic, and one person plays the Empire, one person plays the Rebels, and then depending on cards that come out in middle row, you can kind of defeat cards, or if they're the other faction, you can defeat them for a reward, or you can get them into your hands, you know, to put them into your deck if you are the right faction. And it's pretty quick and easy.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a lot of fun.
$30 everywhere. Perfect reviews on Amazon. People love this. Well, I may have to grab this. This seems like a fun game.
That looks great.
Let's see, age 12 and up, 30 minute game.
Yeah, I remember. Dude. That's right. I remember looking at this art because somebody made lightsaber cookies and blue milk on Board Game Geek and photographed the cards with the.
Oh, that's cool. Cookies.
With the blue milk, nice. Aunt Veru's finest. That's great.
Right. All right, so Brian, here we go for number 5 for you.
Okay, lay it on me.
So I'm not sure. This was a hard one because I wasn't sure if you were an unmatched guy. because I know the Unmatched system's been around for a while, and it's a one-on-one kind of fighting system. It's a lot of fun.
I am
But they
not.
Put out last year is Unmatched Adventures, Tales to Amaze, which makes Unmatched co-op. And it's really, really fun. It comes with some players. If you play, if anybody out there that plays Unmatched and you have other characters from other sets, you can use them in this one. So you play co-op against the game itself. You have either the Mothman, I think it's the Mothman, or aliens that you're fighting against.
I love these pieces. Oh, they're so cool. That little spaceship with the tractor beam. This looks
great. It looks every bit that good too. And if you know, and you don't have to paint them, but if you like to paint them, you could probably put a little coat on there because they kind of come just fine by themselves. But there's some, it's so much fun. This game is great, and it has a good difficulty level too. It's not necessarily like the easiest game in the world, which is kind of good for co-ops, but yeah, it's really good and it scales very, very well.
This looks great. Wow.
Yeah, I like the little dudes, the little figure dudes.
Yeah, I've never played an Unmatched game, but
oh really? Oh, I think you'd love them too, because the one-on-one feel and a strategic. It's also on Steam, so you could buy it on Steam.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Play it first and get a tutorial, and you can also play against the AI, which is really good.
Okay,
Unmatched like Steam. Nice. I've never even heard of this. Let's see. Yep, there it is, and it is currently available and slowly coming up for $19.99. That's a pretty good price.
That is.
Oh, yeah. Some of the Unmatched different sets. There's a bunch of different sets for Unmatched. Unmatched Adventures is probably about 40 to 45 because it's a bigger box to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So number four for you, Brian. I like the theme. Now, I will preface this theme is I'm well aware of the evils of the circus. But this is a game.
Sure.
This is a game. We're just going with that. So I apologize to everybody out there who doesn't like circus.
No elephants were harmed in the making of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. This is from Devir Games, and it's called Three Ring Circus. Now, I'm a huge solo gamer, so I will preface this by saying the solo version in this game is a mess, and don't get this if you're just going to play it solo. However, I know Brian doesn't play a lot of games solo, so I know you would like this in the two, three, or four-player game. It's a very cool game with a very cool system. You're basically bringing your circus around the country, trying to have different, you know, obviously putting on events, different circus events at the different country, you know, different cities and such. And the card play is really cool because as you're kind of getting cards, which are basically performers in your circus, you're putting them in certain places and they always have to go in ascending order. And basically you're kind of running your row of cards. Very, very fun. It's very cool. Very, again, honestly, Scott, I think you'd love this one too, because it's not really all that difficult to play. It just has a little bit longer of a rule book.
Yeah.
And again, it has some really cool choices, which I think you would love too.
I love the art. I'll say that.
The art is gorgeous.
And the pieces are cool. These little ring circus pieces are rad. The little Barnum & Bailey little train thing is cool. I love this look.
It's this so feels cool. Like a game you'd be able to get somebody into if they like Ticket to Ride, even though the gameplay is obviously different.
Absolutely. But this is definitely feels a like, next step.
Yeah.
Next step from Ticket to Ride.
I like this. This is cool.
This is very cool.
All right. Yeah, I love Ticket to Ride is one of my favorites.
What's funny is, so when you click on like the different pictures and you see those big top pieces, they look like they're huge. They're not big at all. Like, because this is a company that's known for kind of putting a lot of game into small boxes.
Yeah.
So those pieces are kind of pretty small. And you can probably tell just by looking at some of the kind of the wooden pieces that they're not
like
big.
Like penny sized or
exactly. Yeah. Right around penny or nickel size pieces. Yeah. But they're great. Absolutely fun game.
Nice.
Number two, oh, no, I'm sorry. This is number three we're up to now, and I'll speed up. I apologize for
going through. No, you're doing totally
great. You're hauling ass, man. Although I got to get like a full list when you're done, so I can put it in the show notes or something. But yeah,
absolutely.
We've got them in our Discord chat.
Oh, okay, good.
Cool. And Brian, I'm gonna go out on a limb because I know you like some of the more complex things, but this is Stefan Feld, which is one of my favorite designers. He's known for kind of the heavier Euros, and they always have like really cool things that you're doing. This game is called Marrakesh. This is from Queen Games. It's just kind of now coming over. It was kind of the later in the year, kind of like mid of the year. It's still harder to find, but it's a great game. This might be my game of the year myself personally.
Oh, wow.
It's so much fun. It has this cube tower. Now, there used to be games like Shogun, and there's another game that Feld put out called Amerigo. Now, the cool thing about this cube tower, and you're not putting cubes in there, you're putting these little kind of columns in
like
there.
Like hexagons or something, yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly. There are kind of these weird cylinders. So you're basically taking some of those. We're playing four players. Everybody's picking three of their own. And every round, you're going to get 12, one of every color. You're going to pick three of your own that are going to go into the tower. So you'll get, somebody's going to take all 12, and they're going to drop them into the tower. Now, the way the tower is made is it's made so that not all of them will come out. Now, sometimes all of them will come out, but it's designed to try and make so it's a little bit more random, where some of them will stay in there. Maybe other rounds you'll have more than the 12, and sometimes you may only get like 10. Now, they've made like a better insert to it that you can get. You can either print out, or you can get in one of the expansions, or you can buy it. Because their initial one, not a lot of things were getting caught in there, so they made them with kind of like bigger pieces.
Sure.
But it's so much fun. Depending on what comes out, you'll see at the bottom of the tower, you'll kind of group up all the colors, and then you're going to go in player order, and you're going to draft from the colors. You can draft no more than two of the same color on your turn, and then those will go onto your board. They're called keshis. So you're going to put them onto your board, and that's going to determine the strength of the action of that you will do. And at the beginning of the round, you've determined you've done something different, where you've taken your three dudes, the colors that you put in your hand to give to the person, those are the three actions you're going to take. So you may draft keshis that are not the same color of the actions you're doing, just trying to bump up actions later in a round to make them a little bit more powerful later in a round.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Yeah, totally. I'm seeing the visuals on this, like, okay, I totally get what you're describing, but man, and I see like the punch out pieces for that dice tower, like how it's almost like you're going through a cheese grater, like which exactly. Things are going to get stuck behind. Oh, that's hilarious. Yep. Okay.
And there's like, I want to say there's 10, well, I think there's basically like, cause one of them has the three of the same, three different colors for action. So there's like 9 different actions. I'm not going to get into the actions now, but just know that each action is almost like games like this are, each action is almost like a little mini game. Because you're going up on a track, and each track will, depending on, you know, what you're collecting, how many of the keshis you have in that color, then there's other resources you're going to get, and then there's kind of scoring. It's so much fun. I mean, it's cool. A longer game. You're going to play it, you know, with teaching, you're probably going to be about 2.5 hours for your first game. But games like this, where the journey is so much fun, you don't even know it's 2 hours. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
When you're just playing a game like this, it's amazing.
Mm. All right. Cool. That sounds pretty good. Was that number one? I think it was.
That was number three. Well, that was my number one for last year, but that was my number three for Brian.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I heard you say number one, I got confused, but go ahead.
So my number two for Brian. Now, this is another very long game. This is kind of one of these afternoon games that you want to sit down for 1 to 5 players. And 5 players makes it very, very cool because there's stuff going on everywhere. We all love The Witcher.
As I call it, Kryptonite for Tina.
Yeah. Yep.
That would mean that she that she's powerless against it.
That's awesome.
Immediate no from Tina, I guess is the
your ghost Lathramos movie for Tina.
Right, exactly.
There you go. Nailed it.
So this is The Witcher Old World. This is a big, sprawling kind of, we call it like an Amerithrash game, just because it's very, very story driven. There's not a lot of Euro elements. Scott, actually, except for the fact, I don't know if you can sit down for 3 hours. Would you ever sit down for 3 hours to play a game, Scott?
Yeah. Oh, I've done that all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm D&D, that kind of stuff. Sure.
This might be up your alley, because basically what you're doing is you're kind of using your cards to kind of chain together different symbols and such, and that's how you're defeating either different challenges or different monsters. You're going around a board, you know, in very Witcher fashion. You're defeating different types and different levels of monsters out there, just trying to get victory points. You only need a few victory points to get the game, but you're kind of adding cards to your hand every round. So another deck builder, centric game, but it's got a really cool story to it. You can attack each other, but there's diminishing returns. You're really only going to get something for beating somebody once. So it's not like somebody's going to just follow you and beat you up the whole time. But there is a little bit of incentive to do it, because you can get some victory points for it. But it's the production value in this game is ridiculous.
These pieces look gorgeous. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're amazing.
Yeah. Look at the coins, dude. That's not cardboard shit. That looks like a little resin.
Throw one of those coins to the Witcher, I'm assuming.
Yeah. You have to throw that to the Witcher. Yep.
And although, I think there may be different versions of the game, where there may be like a cardboard version and a coin version. I've only played with the very pimped out version. One of my buddies had everything, so I don't know if there's, you know, how lower of the versions they have out there.
Mm. Yeah. This is awesome. Look at these Kickstarter exclusive. Sure. They all kinds of models and that horse on the roof. Looks like this is not, what's his name? This isn't, I can't think of his name. The Witcher, the normal Witcher. This is like a whole other sort of sub-story with different.
Mm. No, you can play as
Geralt. That's his name. Geralt. Yes. You can be Geralt. Really?
One of the one of the characters that you can play is actually Geralt. Plays a different character, and I'm pretty sure you have different stats. I'm trying to remember. It's been like 6 months since I played it, but everybody's kind of got, you have different stats and different, you know, there's three different things you can do. You know, you're actually using potions in the game. Man, it's just a lot of fun. You know, just chill fun where you're, you know, again, this story kind of develops as you're playing. So you almost feel like you're playing a movie out or a game out, you know, obviously like a book out.
Sure.
Probably the better way to say.
Sure, sure. Looks awesome.
All right, so we'll finish up with the number one for you, Brian. Now, okay. What's really cool about this game is I know you got a lot of minis, and I know you love to paint them. So this game has standees, so you can use your own minis in this game.
I'll use my own minis for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. This is called Marvel Dagger. This is kind of, again, this is a Fantasy Flight again, but this is kind of like a re-implementation or kind of an updating of an older game that's, you know, not that old, but it's kind of like Eldritch Horror, where there's good story evolving, a good mix of difficulty. And actually, again, Brian, I know you may not be much of a solo player, but this is a very easy game. Solo, you basically just use two of the heroes.
That's what I've heard, yeah. Yeah, I picked this up thanks to you recommending it. Or I think I asked about it in our chat and said, hey, I just got notification from Amazon that this is down to $40 or something, down from 60 or 70 or whatever it is normally. And so I was like, I got to pick this up. So I do have it. And I was wondering about the solo play. That's great.
Is Dagger an organization I'm just not familiar with in Marvel?
No, it's okay. This is not, at least it's not a group that I'm familiar with in the comics, Dagger, but and their sword, yeah, there's shield, it's there's
Defense Alliance for Global and Galactic Emergency Response.
Backronym.
A backronym. My favorites are backronyms.
But what's cool about this too, Brian, is that you basically each person is basically having, you get a character, and then you also get kind of like almost like a faction. You know, I guess it's, you know, you can have like leadership or trait. There you go. Leadership or justice or things like that. I think they call them aspects is what they call them. But throughout the game, since again, it's not too easy, but not too hard, but you're probably going to get defeated once. And each character has another character on the other side. So what's cool is you could probably use a bunch more miniatures because maybe you'll use either.
That's right.
You know, you
bring out Hulk and She-Hulk, and
exactly.
Yeah. Right.
So you know, either use Sam Captain America or you'll use regular Captain
Steve
America.
Steve Rogers Captain America. Yes. Yeah. I love this. I think it's such a great concept. Is like, oh, we're defeated. Don't worry, game's not over. You're playing as this alternate version of the character or this other character of the same name.
Huh.
Yep, and you get a little bit more powerful too once one gets defeated. But if you ever lose a second character, if one person loses a second character, then you lose. But generally, I mean, you could, you know, depending on what you're, you know, which one you're playing, it's not. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's not all that hard, but it's not hard to actually win. I mean, it's not possible to win. You know what I'm saying? So it gives it a good difficulty. And I'll be honest, it looks like a lot, Brian. But once you kind of get it set up, and then once you go through, you're like, oh, this kind of flows exactly how it would feel, because you're basically just doing a certain amount of actions. And then depending on the actions, then it's going to, you know, at the end of the round, you have some cleanup and some other stuff that is going on.
That makes sense. And the actions thing, it's like, oh my God, there's so many different little tiles in this thing that initially was very intimidating. I haven't played this yet, but it was initially very intimidating looking at this thing. It's like, you've got this little tile with the gold thing and the symbol on it, then this purple thing with this other symbol on it, then this red thing with a different symbol on it. It looks like once you figure all that out and figure out, all right, well, this just goes on that card to show that you've completed that sub challenge or this exactly. mini boss, so, or that sort of thing.
I like to call it, I like to refer to it as once you speak the language of a game, games like this become simple and you know exactly what you're looking at. And that's a big thing for Euros, because Euros are very symbol centric. You know what I mean? Like there's just symbols everywhere in Euro type games. And games like this too, like there's just, like you said, there's just symbols that look around for everything. But you're like, oh, well, that's just the different types of aspects. That's all that symbol is. Then here's, you know, you're powering up, you're powering up an action or you're taking damage. So, and then you're kind of, as you're moving throughout the world, you know, you can actually trigger other abilities and other actions. And then you're just basically doing quests, you know, as you're fulfilling different quests, then you're going to get some success on a certain track to kind of get rid of the overarching quest or the villains, you know, the villains is filling up his, track of quest points, then you're trying to get rid of that quest before he does, which is, it's just really cool.
Sure. Sounds awesome. Makes sense. Well, there you go. A little bit of Marvel for Brian, a little bit of Star Wars for me. The nerds win. Once again, The nerds win.
Nerds rule.
Dan, tell people where they can follow you and find more cool stuff on your podcast and whatnot.
You can check out the Geek All-Stars podcast where I do my normal show. It's we like to call it just a show about nothing, but we do like to talk about board games, card games, movies, TV, a little bit of everything. And next month will be our kind of our Geek All-Stars top 11. We just put a show out where we do go into a deep dive into Marrakesh. We do talk about kind of what we've been watching over the last month. You can also find the Munchkin Land on Major Spoilers Network. I do Munchkin Land, which I do the Munchkin Minute, which is basically just a news show where I talk about Kickstarters that are out. And I also talk about basically game releases that are coming up. And that's usually about a nice short form 10 to 20 minute news show on Schleicher's Network.
Nice.
Major Spoilers.
Yeah, go check that out. Majorspoilers.com for details there. Dan, the tabletop man. Go enjoy more doctor, horribly written doctor notes. And we'll see you next time, man. Always good to see you. All right. We'll see you.
Take care.
Bye now. We'll see you.
Bye now.
Awesome.
Bye, Dan.
Well, they ordered the one, the Star Wars.
Did you do the Star Wars one? Cool.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks like something I'd enjoy. Okay, well, that's out of the way.
And for all of you, those links will be on quicktms.li after the show today. I'll put all those up there. I may not do fancy graphics or anything, but I'll put them all up there.
Awesome. Here is a cool story regarding Disney Sidekick sent to us by a listener.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. You guys mentioned Gaston briefly during the Sidekick segment the other day, and it reminded me, I think that was our, it was Half-Asses, right?
It was
right?
A feud.
Oh, yeah. Feud.
Okay. It was a feud. It was a favorite Disney Sidekick.
It says, it reminded me of one of my favorite little anecdotes. I dated a girl for a few years whose uncle was a background artist back in the day for some pretty prominent Disney classics. Beauty and the Beast were among them. He was a pretty good looking guy, and they actually decided to base the look of Gaston on him. What I love about it, though, is this character who's supposed to be the most misogynistic, brutish dolt of masculinity is actually based on a very sweet, very effeminate gay artist. His name was Greg Drolet, and by all accounts, he was a really cool dude. Bummed I never got to meet him as he fell victim to the AIDS epidemic that hit the LGBT community back then, but I did get to see a lot of really cool concept art books of his, all signed by the Disney artist he worked with. That's cool, man. I would love to see those books. That's awesome.
No kidding. And looked up a photo of this guy, and yeah, you see him, and he's like, oh yeah, okay, there's Gaston right there.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Greg Drolet, right? Is that how you'd say it?
Greg Drolet, or Drolet.
So y'all can Google that dude and see what's up there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, oh my gosh, look at that.
That's great. Got the chin.
Yep, that's amazing. Yeah. Oh, he did a ton of stuff.
Yeah, not a lot of photos of the guy, but a lot of photos of his work and the things that he worked on.
He was busy. Look, let's see. Animation department director for Hercules, Aladdin, Atlantis, The Lost Empire, Little Mermaid. Last thing he did was background art for the Simpsons movie in 07. Looks like he passed away in 07. Okay. Never got to use smartphones. That's a bummer. I always think of that's the year.
That year is the dividing line. Yeah, good point.
Big changes from that. Thank you for that. If you guys like to send in your own messages, everything we got today was from the text line 801-471-0462, or you can email us themorningstream@gmail.com. Whatever format you prefer is fine, and you can send us voicemails as well. That's going to do it for today's show. Go to frogpants.com/TMS for links to everything, including the quicktms.li stuff, including all the things that you can sign up for or register for or whatever. Oh, quick point of clarification. We had somebody in the Discord asking how Brian the Half-Asses question submission stuff works.
Sure.
I don't think we have a specific link. You usually just go ask stuff, right? Or how does it work normally?
Well, I have a game that I pull those from. Those typically don't come from listeners. But if you want to submit one, then coverville@gmail.com is the way to submit one of those questions.
Okay. So just know that.
But, I'm not going to do any fact checking on it. So please do your own fact checking. Don't send it unless you're 100% sure of it, because we don't want that guy who questions the soccer, the English football versus college football questions, and the Kenya, Mount Kenya being highest in the country of Kenya.
Yeah, and oftentimes that gives us like 2-3 weeks of people following up on a thing when someone gets something wrong. So unless you want to be that guy who gets something wrong, make sure your stuff's good. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Brian, we're done. Let's get out of here. You got a little song lined up for us?
I do. This one's going out to Jeff Covermeister. The other day, the family was in the car, and It Could Have Been Me by The Struts came on, and my 8-year-old started singing along. How do you know this song? Well, it turns out that it was covered by Halsey in the Sing 2 movie. It's a fine cover, but can you play your favorite cover of The Struts? Keep on keeping on. Signed, Jeff.
Nice.
Well, actually, that is a good cover, and there aren't a lot of covers of The Struts out there. As a matter of fact, this is the only song that ever gets covered, and the only other version of this that I could find was a bluegrass or instrumental version that I don't think was as good. So let's play the one that your 8-year-old likes, and that comes from the Sing 2 soundtrack from a couple of years ago. Here's Halsey.
I think so. We could be doing that wrong, but I've always assumed Halsey.
Halsey, yep. It's Ashley with the letters rearranged. Here's Halsey and her cover of The Struts, Could Have Been Me.
Frogpants.com.
Mm-hmm.